For 50 years, the Tech America Foundation has presented a detailed forecast for defense spending. It's one source of information that contractors use to plan their marketing and sales efforts. This year's forecast team has shown one eternal truth. Pentagon budgets reflect more than just what military leaders say they need. They're buffeted by the economy and politics. Rick Ashute leads Tech America's DoD forecast team. He's standing by with Tom Temin at this year's Tech America Vision Conference in Virginia. Over to you, Tom.
Thank you, Emily. Rick, good to have you.
It's good to be with you, Tom.
All right, so let's talk about that forecast. Let's have the bottom line or the top line, whatever you call it, defense spending up or down in the coming years.
Well, if you joined us at a conference day, we'd have top line and bottom line for you. So we've got all the answers. I think the headline of this is that anyone who's paid attention to the overall federal budget, but in particular the defense side of it, has been wondering when the bottom will be there. This has been a very tumultuous five years. We've had sequester, budget uncertainty. And I think the good news is that we do see not only the bottom, which we predict occurring in FY17, but then a recovery over the forecast period, which for us is 10 years out from where we're standing today.
So the bottom is two fiscals to go, so that means 2015 is going to be a tough year relative to the, well, hate to say it, go-go years of 2001 to a couple of years ago.
Sure enough, we've all had to adjust our expectations over what is good, and certainly some might think that what we're predicting might in the past have been appalling, but the fact is any growth is good growth, and while we do have a couple more years of what some may call austerity, we can see it. And, you know, there's two issues here. One is, you know, what are the absolute numbers? The other is the predictability. And predictability has been a very elusive goal. And we think we can provide some confidence over the forecast period of what we're going to see.
So let's back up for a moment. You lead a team of people from industry working on behalf of the Tech America Foundation. Your day job is with BAE Systems. How does this whole forecast get put together? How many people are on the team, and what do you do, and how long does it take?
Thank you for asking, because we have a great crowd of volunteers. This is an industry collaborative. So you've got senior, you know, marketing strategists from across the industry come together with no profit motive. I mean, this is very altruistic behavior on the part of this group. And what is key to our forecast is not only do we look at the numbers, and not only do we look at a number of external factors, but we interview senior government officials across the patch, and we factor their inputs into our own analysis. So this is the most robust and unique forecast that you're going to see anywhere else.
So you go pretty deep. So let's say if we roughly divide the Defense Department into the military armed services and then everything else, what are the different dynamics in each of those, the non-armed services components and the armed services?
Sure. So what you're going to see is a restoration of what we call the investment accounts. As I said earlier, we're seeing the bottom out of the overall defense budget at about $530 billion, somewhere in the FY17 timeframe.
But you're actually going to see the base budget, $535.
I'm sorry?
That's the base budget.
Yes,
right.
Yes. And what you're going to see, actually, it includes what we all call, OCO, which is the overseas operations.
Contingency funding. Operations.
Exactly. Huh? So all that becomes at its lowest point. But the investment accounts, procurement and R&D, which is probably the type of budget that certainly a lot of your listeners pay attention to, that starts to recover a little bit earlier over the forecast period. So, again, good news. Glad to see it.
Okay, so let's look at the armed services side. Who's going to fare the worst? Is it the Army and the Air Force, from what I've seen, seem to be looking like they're going to get the most hit?
Sure.
Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, but, you know, we have some assumptions that are baked into this forecast. Certainly global economy is one of them. Threat environment is another one. The other one, quite important, is the component, armed services component and their force structure. And, you know, since 2001, all the services come down significantly, but we're forecasting a further decrease in overall end strength. The Army definitely takes the biggest hit. No service is immune, though. Those are numbers that are baked into the forecast. So, you know, what we're seeing, the bottoming out, all that includes what we predict to be a force structure reduction.
So looking at some of those procurement accounts, what particular programs might be driving what little strength there is there?
Well, certainly there are some large programs that are going to drive investment. Joint Strike Fighter is still one of those. We have submarine programs, tanker programs, long-range strike. These things are going to drive some of that early investment account recovery that we're predicting.
And what looks like it might take a hit, again, from a, not so much an end strength, that's the big one, but the programs, programmatic area might be
so
tough.
So we're not forecasting any reduction in a particular program. Certainly, it's hard to avoid, identifying numbers like Joint Strike Fighter, which are larger than some agencies. I think that as a component goes, force structure is the biggest hit. The services, in choosing between the uncomfortable decision between capacity or capability, tend to choose capability. They will invest in the technology to stay ahead of the global competition.
So even though there's a smaller force, they want to be as lethal as possible.
That is exactly right.
We're speaking with Rick Ashew. He's Director of Strategy at BAE Systems Electronic Solution. He's also Chairman of the Tech America Foundation's Vision Defense Forecast. And so what about sequestration? Now, I guess nobody really knows for sure what Congress will do there. What kind of assumptions did you make on that for the next couple of years?
Exactly. So we predicted sequestration has been a bad thing from a budget perspective, but it's been a good thing in that it's set 2 years of certainty. And so now we're forecasting no large changes in the budget dynamics, which means some recovery from sequester, but not a big one as far as the numbers go. And what's happening here is the trade space between what the president wanted to see, which is a much higher number, and then the sequestration levels, is starting to close. You know, we've lived 2 years with sequestration, mm-hmm. and, you know, our view is you're going to see something along the lines of inflation adjustments out the 10 years that we're looking. So nothing dramatic from, you know, what we saw in the past 2 years with early days of sequestration. The balanced budget agreement gave us some slightly better improvement numbers over sequestration. We think that trend's generally going to continue.
Because it was the administration in concert with Congress that decided that sequestration shall be 50% DOD, 50% everybody else. That's an arbitrary choice. Did you talk to anyone that indicated, well, maybe there could still be a sequester, but the ratios don't have to be 50-50.
Yeah, they don't. You can understand how they backed into that division because roughly the discretionary budget is half defense and half everything else. And that doesn't really change. We're forecasting over this period. However, you're starting to see some agitation even from the U.S. Secretary of Defense has said, you know, the budget as currently forecast isn't going to be sustainable for the security we need. And there's a good point there.
Well, yeah, that's right, because if you look at it, again, as a 50-50 thing, should you cut the same amount from, say, the Army, which defends the nation? And I guess the political question is should they take the same hit as the Education Department or something where,
Exactly. One thing that's been missing is some truly thoughtful budgeting. And by the way, not just for the for the benefit of defense. The fact of the matter is, and we're forecasting this, the single largest growing element of the budget is going to be interest on the debt. It grows faster than anything else, 6% to 14%. That's money that goes for nothing, while the division between domestic and defense spending doesn't change at all. So what we really need is a long-term budget deal to address some of the structural deficits, the structural dynamics that are locking us in. I mean, we have certainty, but it's not for good reasons. We have certainty because there are budget dynamics that are inexorable and need to be addressed.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you also sort of fan out a little bit or take the next ring around the drop stone and look at the underlying economic forecast that ultimately drives what happens in the government?
Yes, that's where we start. We look at global economic growth. And, I mean, the answer on that is, the global economy, the U.S. economy, I would call them healing but not healthy. That means we're still in a tenuous situation. Even European powerhouses like Germany had a very tough second quarter. Asia Pacific, which is growing like crazy, is still tenuous because there's a lot of debt driving China's economic growth. That creates risk. The other assumptions, in addition to force structure, deficit budgeting, we look at the national security situation. All you have to do is open the newspaper to see that some horrific events have occurred which have translated into a change in policy, airstrikes in Syria, for example, but that were not anticipated and were not in the field of view of the stated strategy of the administration, which was a focus on Asia Pacific. So right. as a result, if you look at Tech America's forecast, we have a main forecast, but we have a couple contingencies in there for not only economic downturn, but also a national security crisis.
All right, so wrapping it all up, what's your best advice for the contractors that are going to be listening to this today? What should they be doing in their, in terms of their strategies for sales and marketing over the next year or two?
Well, there's a lot to learn about the budget and the spending going forward in the next 10 years. I think, you know, the message to industry is these are still huge markets, and they're only going to grow modestly, but they're going to grow. You know, despite what you read every day, you might sound like it's dwindling to nothing. We are talking about massive budgets that are going to recover to about $630 billion over the forecast period. So there's a lot of opportunity in there, but it does take some understanding to understand where the real opportunities are.
So stay close to the customer. Same old advice as
absolutely
forever.
And by the way, those customers generally want to hear from industry too, because not one individual has all the answers.
All right. Rick Ashew is Director of Strategy at BAE Systems Electronic Solutions, and he's Chairman of the Tech America Foundation Vision Defense Forecast. Thanks so much for joining me.
Tom, it's good to be with you. Thanks for being here today.